And welcome, everyone, to a very, very special episode of Podcast Them Softly. This is Nick, and of course, I'm joined by Frank. What's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. Super excited. Super special show.
Oh, yeah. Got a very cool show today. Very exciting. Wade Eastwood is joining us, and Wade is one of the premier stunt coordinators and second unit directors currently working in Hollywood right now. He's also a true daredevil himself. He's handled stunt driving duties, stunt performing, you know, stunt double. And he's been in charge of the stunts and action sequences on some of the biggest recent blockbusters. He's a four-time World Stunt Award winner, and some of his ridiculous credits include this summer's Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, the upcoming James Bond film Spectre, which hits theaters this November, last year's Interstellar, Edge of Tomorrow, Godzilla, the upcoming Robert Langdon adventure Inferno. He also worked on Star Trek Into Darkness, Inception, The Town, tons of other movies. Thanks a lot, Wade, for coming on the show. I know Frank and I are excited to talk action movies with you. We're a big fan of the genre.
It's our pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me.
No problem, man. This is super cool. You're our first stuntman, and this is amazing. I just want to jump right in. Rogue Nation. Insane.
Right.
No, insane stunt work.
It was insane to work on it. Trust me. It was a long, hard shoot, but a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And a great team. I had an incredible team on that. You know, the same team I had, but they really took it to a new level on that one and did an amazing job. So I couldn't be happier with the result.
How did you get involved with that?
I'd worked with Tom Cruise on Edge of Tomorrow. And he called me and just asked me if I'd come back and really sort of go for it on mission with him and get involved. Couldn't really say no.
Right.
Well, you can't really say no to Tom.
I know. I mean, I don't. Yeah, I couldn't. I mean, I'll never get that phone call, but I mean, I could imagine.
and when Cruz, you know, gets you on, you know, he has your number and he's dialing you up and you're going to work with him again and stuff, you obviously, you know how intense the guy is with the stunts and wanting to get in there himself. And it's been made abundantly clear through any number of documentaries, making ofs, that the guy is a true daredevil. What's it like being in charge of arguably, you know, the world's, you know, biggest movie star for, you know, the last like 30 years, you know, his safety? What goes through your mind when they're asking you to put him on the outside of a cargo plane?
Yeah, I mean, it is a great responsibility, but to me, it's the same responsibility as if I was working with any human being. You know, it's I don't apply a different set of rules or a different set of safety guidelines to the fact that it's a megastar. It's just a human being to me, so I go through the same procedure, and obviously we get more attention because it's Tom Cruise, but I go through the same thing, and it's a human being. So the stress is not really there. The stress for me and the pressure is done in the sort of testing phase and the sort of the thought creative phase. Once I come up with a plan of attack, it's you know, it's pretty much done by that stage, and we just make sure it goes ahead safely and it looks dynamic. You know, that was just for the sort of sequences that allow for that to happen. There's other sequences that take a different skill level, like Tom's driving, for example. So that's a different set of rules. You know, I'd put certain specialist drivers in cars to drive normally. And even with that, there's always that risk, that element of risk, because we're doing stunts. And it wouldn't be a stunt if there wasn't an element of risk. It's my job to reduce that element and without losing the wow factor. But there is always that element of risk. And then when you've got someone like Tom doing it, there's still that element of risk, which I can't take all of it out because anything can go wrong with a car. A wheel could fall off and the car could get out of control and, you know, anything could happen. So there's only so much risk you can negate. You know, if he hurts himself, then we're pretty boned for the rest of the show, because if he scratches his face, we can't shoot on him. We scratch a stunt guy's face, we just put another stunt guy in there. You know, so without sounding too callous, but it's true. It's the truth behind it. There's only one Tom Cruise. So from a responsibility point from that side, yes, you definitely feel the pressure because there is only one Tom Cruise. But when it comes to the driving and stuff he did, that was my more nerve-wracking stuff watching, because he was driving and riding on the limit. with everything he did, because that's what we wanted and that's what we trained him for. And we trained long and hard and got him to a level where he would have, I mean, he would have done well in a race. I mean, the guy was exceptional with his driving. I've said it a load of times. I can't say enough.
That car chase is spectacular. The motorcycle pursuit and the whole it through those narrow streets. And I do not understand the cinematography. And you know, and I said it in my review. The second unit work on that stuff is just stunning to watch. And so you're suggesting and saying that Tom Cruise was doing the majority or the bulk of his own stunt driving, because the shots are so clear that if there was CGI being used, you would never know. And, you know, what we've known about Cruise is tries to do as much without the CGI as possible.
No, yeah, Tom did all the stunt driving, 100% of it, not 99% even. He did 100%. I would, you know, do the training with him and we'd go through the routes and Tom would drive it. He was... I mean, that's the big thing for me, was more than the other stuff. You know, the rigs and things are controlled. They're still dangerous and you can still hurt yourself. And it still takes a lot of physical action to do them. Like Tom has to physically be athletic enough and gymnastic enough to do these wire gags and these fight things that we do for him while still maintaining being Ethan, you know, Hunt, being the character. Whereas a stunt guy does it, they're very loose to being the character, but they're more about just doing the stunt. Tom Cruise does it and acts. Which is a very hard thing to do. People don't understand how hard it is, but it's very hard to not show the natural fear or the natural anxiety and to turn it into acting the part whilst doing it. But with the driving again, he was, you know, I take my hat off to him for that. He did amazingly well, like incredibly well.
And he did the bike stuff too when he was on the bike.
Yeah, he did the bike stuff too. I mean, we had a few scary moments, I won't lie. He definitely pushed himself to the limit on that film. We did a lot of training for it, but he definitely pushed himself to the limit. And I don't think there was a day that ended in that sequence, no matter how hot, sandy, sweaty, sticky, long hours and tired we were, that he wouldn't stop a bike or car, smile and say, "Fun." That was his word of the day every day.
Crazy.
So you're working on Spectre, correct?
I didn't do Spectre. A friend of mine was a coordinator on that. I just did the drive, some driving in one of their special. It hasn't come out yet. I nearly gave it away.
Right.
In one of their special cars.
Awesome. I can't wait to see that. That's super exciting that you were you're involved with that. I'm a huge Bond fan, and I see that you were an uncredited bodyguard in The World Is Not Enough, if I'm reading that correct.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry about
that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was the opening sequence in the bank. There's actually three of us are all stunt people in the bank there in the opening sequence.
Right.
So, yeah, we get those little roles sometimes.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know you can't talk too much about Spectre, but Nick and I are both really, really, really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it should be really good, too. Some great car stuff in it and everything. It should be, not just because I was only involved in that sequence, but there is some great cars to look at in that. There's some good eye candy, car eye candy.
Awesome.
Yeah, it looks that way. There's in the trailer, there seems to be some sort of nighttime pursuit along the side of a body of water or something, and there's two really sexy cars that are like going after each other. So
yeah, it was amazing. I mean getting to drive the one prototype car that I got to drive and drift it and do some stuff that I did in it was I was only in it for a small part of it, but it was really good fun.
We should ask you how you got your start. How does one gravitate towards being a stuntman? Was it something that you wanted to do when you were, how did this come about?
For me, it was, I was a frustrated racing driver. I always wanted to be to race cars and be a racing driver. It was just a very, very hard thing to get into. It's very expensive. And growing up in South Africa, I wasn't in the right place either, ready for it, and didn't have the support. But, you know, that was my main goal and ambition. Film came to town, but I had no cables, no wires on me, no safeties. I just flew along at 500 feet and and then just lowered into a river, and I jumped off and did a couple of other things, and they asked me if I could drive, which was my passion, so I said yes, and did some driving and crashed some cars, and again, didn't have any experience. I just did what was common sense to me, not to get hurt, and then sort of learned as I went, which was a great sort of school of stunts, if you like. I did a lot of the terrible B-movies that go straight to video back in the day, and I did loads of those when I started when I was 19. But it was an amazing apprenticeship, if you like, because every movie wasn't about the acting, so it was about stunts. And it would be one movie, we could do four or five falls, 100 foot plus, and six or seven car rolls. And
so speaking of your early work, I looked up, and you were the stunt double for Dolph Lundgren in two movies back in the day?
Yeah, I think I did more, actually. I might have done more for him. I think I did four or five movies for him.
That's awesome. I love Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Love him.
He's a really cool guy. They used to call me Mini Dolph because I'm a bit shorter than him. I used to be a little bit more muscular than I am now. But it was, it was a great, he became a good friend, actually. He's a really great guy, and I'm really glad to see him still working and doing well.
Yeah, I love him in The Expendables, and I think I own, it's weird, I have like a total snobby movie collection, like hardcore, and then I think I own like six or seven or eight Dolph Lundgren Blu-rays that I've seen at like Battle of the Damned and, what the hell, my favorite one, Command Performance, that he wrote and directed.
Yeah.
Love it.
He's an intelligent guy. He's a really great guy. And funny as hell. Funny as hell.
Yeah, saw that he's going to be in Kindergarten Cop 2, and I got all excited about that.
Right.
All excited about that. So, yeah, I mean, looking over your credits is just absolutely insane, and I have no idea what to talk to you about because it's so vast and huge, but I want to ask you about Interstellar because that was one of my favorite films that came out last year.
I did a very little bit in the loading dock area of one of the planes. It was, again, a friend of mine that was coordinating it, George. And it was nice to be able to work in town in Los Angeles when I was home because there's not a lot happening in town in work that wise. Everything's shooting all over the world.
Right.
So it was just a couple of weeks of just helping out with some stuff and some small stunt stuff. It wasn't too involved because it was a lot of green screen and visual effect work.
And you've worked with Nolan. You worked with Nolan in the past, I believe, on Inception, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
And so, what's it like working with Christopher Nolan? Both Frank and I are big fans, and we love how he's always able to bridge the intelligence with the action. And he's one of the better blockbuster filmmakers out there. What's it like working with him?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't work close to them as a coordinator or second year director. Again, it was a friend of mine doing that job. I was just doing a driving sequence for that, a downtown driving sequence. So I wasn't coordinating that film. I was a performer in that one, which I like to do
Yeah, I was going to ask, how much do you enjoy still? Because, some of the more recent stuff, we look at the IMDb Pro and we can see that there's been, more coordination and second unit work. It looks like you did second unit directing. If this is accurate for Inferno, what's it like to jump back into the game and do the performing?
Yeah, so I mean, it's a natural transition, really, is to get from stunts becoming a stuntman, and you work your way up to being a stunt coordinator, and after a while, if you go into second unit directing, if you understand a camera and action and story. But I still like to keep my hand in it performing because those are my roots. That's where I come from. And I never want to lose it, and I'm not too old to do it. So I actually still like doing it. I enjoy it.
What does, and tell everybody, because it's something that everyone sees in the credits and not everyone always knows what it means. What is a second unit director doing on a daily basis?
It's pros and cons, like any job. You get more stress with it, more fingers pointed at you, more people watching you. But at the same token, you get to control the action more, and you don't end up coordinating and choreographing these great sequences that then get shot by someone else that may not see.
For Inferno, as the second unit director, you are shooting a lot of the stunt scenes and stunt work, action scenes?
Correct,
that you
yeah.
coordinated?
Exactly. So we shoot a lot of the action sequences, and we shot in Florence in Italy, which was incredible, and then in Budapest, which is also great. I've worked there before. I did World War Z there. It was a great city to shoot in. And working with someone like Ron Howard was unbelievable. On Inferno, as a second year director, it was a great opportunity because I wanted to work with Ron Howard. I have done for a long time, so it was everything I sort of imagined it would be. It was a really good experience, and we got to shoot in some amazing places like Budapest and Florence with a great crew. So it was one of the highlights for me. It was really a special experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. We just did a podcast with Salvatore Totino.
Yeah,
and he spoke.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. And we talked to him afterwards, and we told him that you were coming on, and he had nothing but great things to say about you. So that was very exciting.
Full of energy.
Yeah, that we got to speak with him, and then now you. So I guess our next step's Ron Howard. So
yeah,
we'll see how that goes.
I just wanted to ask real quick because it came out last year, and it was another movie where you got a chance to work with Tom Cruise on Edge of Tomorrow. That movie had a really intense blend of CGI and real stunts, and it looks from here is that you did the stunt coordination on that film. What was it like sort of attempting to recreate sort of like the World War II, you know, beach battle, but with, you know, aliens in the science fiction, you know, world? What was it like sort of working in the realm?
Yeah, Private Ryan with aliens, basically.
Was that the mantra that they were going for?
Pretty much the mantra of that one. Yeah, it was great. It was a really fun film. It was again great cast with Tom and Emily Blunt, and all the sort of F Squad. I think they were a really good bunch of people. And we had a blast on that. It was very challenging because of the suits, the size and weight of those suits. It was an extremely challenging film. Everything we did, everywhere they moved. Was an effort for them, and if they wanted to run, everything was on a wire rig or an assist. So we had wires and rigs everywhere for the simplest things that you wouldn't normally need them for. So logistically and technically, it was a really tough movie, but which actually made it more fun because everything was a challenge.
So coming up, you have Inferno, Spectre, and then you're working on the new Jack Reacher film.
Yep, we're working on it right now. I'm here in very hot, sticky New Orleans, and we're about to start shooting. We start shooting pretty soon, and the next book.
That's awesome. So you're going to be the stunt coordinator for that film?
Yeah, I'm second year director and stunt coordinator again on this one, and
awesome.
Yeah, it should be good fun.
Are there a lot of stunt coordinators that become second unit directors as well, or are you kind of like the one of the first guys to do that?
Oh no, there's loads before me.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's there's a handful that are doing the sort of higher end films, and then there's a bunch that are doing sort of the mid to low range films as well. But it's a natural progression really if you understand action and if you're creative and if you can work with characters and keep story going, then you can. It's a natural sort of progression. So you can control the action and a little bit tighter, a little bit closer.
Right. That's very cool. I had no idea that happened with coordinators becoming second unit directors. That's awesome. What's one of your favorite? Sorry. what's one of your favorite stunts you've done in a film?
I'm a driver. I mean, because I'm a frustrated racing driver, which was my number one passion. So anything with driving. Whether it's boats, cars, bikes, anything, are my favorite. So I think one of my favorite experiences that I remember was when I drove the jet boat for The World Is Not Enough. And doing that sequence on the River Thames in London with, the Bond fan base was so big and all the fan clubs coming to see and all the river men that worked in the River Thames and the crew. And it was a real, it was a really great experience. We worked with a legend of a second year director called Vic Armstrong. And Simon Crane, and it was an amazing experience, and I just got to drive this you know, 60 mile an hour, 11 foot jet boat with a 350 Chevy motor in the back, V8 in the back, and it was just all day, just flat out. It was just amazing.
That's a super cool opening.
Simon Crane and Vic Armstrong worked. Both of those guys worked on that movie.
Yeah, so Vic was second year director, and Simon was a stunt coordinator. And then obviously after that, wow. Simon went on to have a massively successful second unit directing career, and hopefully should be directing a movie any day now.
Yeah, that would be two complete legends to be getting a chance to see in action for sure. I mean, it's just, when you look at your credits, I mean, it's just like, you know, the range of filmmakers from Spielberg to, you know, oh, to Doug Liman, to, you know, Christopher McQuarrie, to Ben Affleck, to all these various people that you've worked with, J.J. Abrams. I mean, I can't imagine what it must be like to sort of go back and forth between all these guys. Are such dynamic stylists with their action movies, and they like to cover things in a different way. And I mean, you had a chance to even work with, looks like, Michael Bay on The Island. Just out of curiosity, did you have anything to do with that driving sequence in that movie with the jet bike?
Yeah, I did all the driving sequences on the island.
The driving sequences in the island are wild. I still haven't gotten over how they did some of that jet bike stuff. I know some of it had to have been CGI, but there clearly was some sort of physical, real jet bike built for that movie. Am I correct?
Yes. To a degree, yes, there was.
To a degree, yeah.
Without giving too much Hollywood magic away.
You can tell, like, some of the shots look so tangible, and I know that Bay, you know, Michael Bay has arguably one of the cleanest eyes for CGI. You know, he sets his stuff during the day, which forces, you know, special effects artists to get really detailed. You know, when you do it at night, you can cover up a lot, and, you know, he loves saturated color.
Yeah.
And he loves his bright colors, which, you know, show off surface gleam and everything. And I cannot get over some of the stuff in the island.
No, you know what? I think to me, The Island was a really great movie. I'm not into sci-fi movies so much to watch myself, but it was a really great movie. And I don't think it got the press it should have. It was Ewan McGregor as well. He's a great actor.
I agree. I've always been a fan, and it was the one Michael Bay movie that didn't perform in America at the box office, and it was actually one of his more thoughtful movies. I mean, at least an hour goes by before something blows up.
Yeah, exactly. It was a clever film, and you know, Michael's, I've worked with him a bunch. I did a whole string of commercials for him as well. He's a hell of a character, and you know, he's definitely a personality on set. You definitely know when he's arrived on set. But he knows exactly what he wants. And for me, working with a director that knows exactly what he wants and that's got a vision and will trust in his crew, in the people that he's put in those positions to help him deliver the story, those are the directors you want to work for. You know, the ones that come along and have egos and are arrogant and think that they can do it all on their own. And you know, those are the guys you don't want to be around. And there's, you know, thank God there's not too many of those guys around, that they're mainly, you know, super nice and massively creative and hugely complimentary of the team, and, you know, and want to work together and supportive of the team. And those are the guys that make the great movies.
It's crazy. I also see here that did you do some stunt doubling work for Daniel Craig on Quantum of Solace? Was that your role on that film?
Yeah, I did the jet boat sequence. And a little bit of driving stuff, but it was mainly the jet boat sequence done in Panama, which was great fun. And I've known Daniel a long, long time, so I was super excited when he got announced as Bond. He deserved it. It's really good.
Yeah, he's a fantastic Bond. I can't even wait for Spectre. It's probably that and Star Wars are my two big movies this year that I can't wait to see. So I'm super excited to see the driving in the film now that I've spoken with you. It's going to make it that much more special.
Yeah, and the stunt coordinator on that one is Gary Powell, who's done some very big sequences. And Gary and Simon are now working together doing Bourne, the new Bourne movie. So that'll be coming out as well.
Oh, boy.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, we appreciate the time you've given us, man. We know you're a busy guy scouting locations for the next Jack Reacher film, so we very much appreciate this. This was incredible.
Oh, no problem, guys. Thank you very much for having me again. And
certainly, man.
All right,
you bet.
Speak soon.
It's been a touch. Thanks again, Wade. Really appreciate it.
Cheers.